Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors who are going to share some deeply disturbing things with you.
Dive into the vortex with us.
Yes. I'm sorry we didn't get to a podcast last week.
I know. I almost forgot how to do our intro for a second. I had to think about it.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that it came out so smoothly.
Well, we have been doing it over 40 times now. So
45 times.
Is this our 45th tonight?
Yes, it is.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So we do a live cast on Podbeam where people can comment, and then we also post it later. So it's there in perpetuity. Is that a word?
I think so.
Oh, nice. Nailed it.
Good job.
I'm going to light our ceremonial Robert Smith votive candle to set the mood.
The one that smells like burning hair.
It just smells like the 80s, Macy.
Yeah. Hairspray.
Probably keep burning it hair. Away from that paper.
Probably. The paper with the confessional picture.
Yeah, I liked that. So I put it up so we could think about our sins. Think about what we've done.
In front of Robert.
Yes. This is the whole thing we have going on, though.
Great. Yeah, so I was in Chico, California last week. So part of my check-in is why we didn't get to podcast, because I was traveling for work. And it was just as rainy there as it is here. So I didn't even get a good weather break.
Today's weather is unnaturally warm. It's actually bothersome to me. Like, all the snow melted. We had a shit ton of snow. It's like all gone.
Yeah, there was a lot of snow. I mean, we had a pretty severe snowstorm for a week.
Yeah, I went snowshoeing yesterday, and it was like
misty. Are you just like a snowshoer now?
I'm all in.
Oh, that's exciting for you.
You know, our local outdoorsy store, Mountain Gear, went out of business. So
yeah, but that was a while ago, right?
Well, they're having their going out of business sale right now, or over the weekend they were. So Paul and I scored on some new snowshoe gear, 40% off. Pretty sweet.
For the thrifty snowshoer.
Yes. So now we're like invested, and now we have to go like all the time to like get our money's worth out of it.
Oh, I really like that intro. We had a listener post, ladies therapy is now in session.
Yes. It's commenced.
It's commenced. Here we begin. Yeah. So that's my check-in. I've been working nonstop, staying up till midnight, working on building schedules for a new team that I'm, working over, I guess.
None of that sounds fun.
It honestly was not great. Like, getting to meet the people, that was good, but it was a lot of coordination and puzzling, and then one person would have an issue with part of my puzzle, and then it would all just fall around me, and then I like, guess I'm going to stay up till midnight again, and then somebody would do it again the next day. It's still happening all the way to today.
Sounds like a house of cards.
Yes. I'm really glad that you're getting your leisure pants on, because I'm really upset that this has not worked for me yet.
I will get you your leisure pants, because my new leisure pants life is fucking fantastic, I have to say. So coming off 2019, which was the busiest year of my entire life, where I actually felt like I was like having nervous breakdowns all the time, having just like swept all this clean space. And I'm just having so much fun with it, like doing fun things. It's really like new and fabulous. Like, Paul and I took a dance lesson Saturday. And yeah, we did grid.
You danced?
Yeah, we learned a dance lesson.
I could see him being private lesson. Suave.
He gets into it. Like, Paul fucking loves to dance.
I can see that happening.
But we don't have any moves. And so we don't ever dance together in sync. You know what I mean? It's like him coming at me, like a lot to deal with,
He comes at you.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Sounds aggressive. Like,
it's a very aggressive dancing. I'm trying to like just survive. So now we're going to have moves so we can be attuned with one another.
That's adorable. Was this delivered by the FedEx man that rang the doorbell 8 times last time?
No, this is from Pottery Barn. Look, we have curtains.
Oh, good.
We haven't had curtains in here.
I never noticed.
I had to get them because my son has been living in this room on and off with his baby. So having no curtains doesn't work.
Having the podcasting room be/baby room makes it feel less cool, just so you know.
Well, the baby's not here right now.
I know, but there's a crib.
And she's a baby. She can't fucking understand what we say.
Wait, is there a baby in there?
No, there's no baby.
God, you scare. I'm like, has there just been a creepy baby in the corner?
A, my granddaughters aren't creepy.
She would be if she's in
the corner. So actually, sometimes she'd be tripping. Babies are weird. Like, I'm always asking
Paul, babies are weird.
Like, yeah. What is she looking at? Like, what is she thinking? Why is she just staring? Silently judging.
It's like my cat that just stares at the ceiling at times. I'm like, what are you looking at?
Please cats stop. And babies be tripping.
Little weirdos.
They are super weird.
So I've decided already that you haven't checked in yet. Sorry.
No, say what you're going to say.
I was going to say you're going to do your topic first.
Oh, well, I have a lot of things to say.
That's all that I was going to say.
First of all, so you're the rat. So, Gunghae Fat Choy. Which is wishing you wealth and prosperity.
Oh, great. I'm a dragon.
Yeah. Well, it's Year of the Rat, which is like the first of all the zodiacs. So to me, that means like new beginnings, fresh start, which is really fitting in with where I'm at with my life right now, which is all about like out with the old, in with the new, having fun. Okay, Syrah, Syrah, like the Syrah we're drinking right now. Okay, Syrah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
So yeah, there's that. And then, so there's this coronavirus situation happening where,
I've been seeing that. And there was one in Everett, right? That came in Washington.
Yeah. There's been, I think, two cases of it in our state, but nobody's died in our state. So they canceled in Spokane, the Chinese New Year's festival because community members were concerned about the coronavirus. So that bothers me because A, why just being racist? And B,
come on, Spokane.
Fuck you, Spokane. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been, I mean, in the cases that have come here, they've been able to, like, manage really well.
And I think they could just put a notice like, hey, if you've been to China recently or your relatives have,
don't come
to the thing.
I'm pretty sure they've done that at the airports.
Yeah.
As people come in.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Fuck you, Spokane, is all I have to say. And if I start being like putting into some kind of camp.
Oh, is this what you're pre-warning me for?
Well, I know how this country is. People get all, you know,
scared.
Uppity and scared and try to quarantine people.
I'll rescue you from the camp.
Okay.
I'll dig you a hole.
Thank you. So my other check-in is I stabbed myself on Saturday.
Jesus.
Do you see that it's still kind of bleeding?
Yeah, it's like right in that part. It's the part where your thumb kind of connects to the palm of your hand, that part that looks like it hurt a lot.
You know what they call that? The webbing.
So you stabbed your webbing?
I stabbed my webbing. So you know how there's that rule with like sharp objects, like
Paul
knives,
you?
Knives or scissors, how you're not supposed to like aim them towards your body parts? You know that rule? Like...
common sense thing.
Well, I didn't follow that. So I was holding my brand new snowshoeing poles and trying to cut loose the zippy tie. And of course, the scissors, my giant kitchen scissors, slipped and stabbed me right in my webbing. And it hurt like a motherfucker, and it's still bleeding. So there's that.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. So is that all your check-in?
Well, I have to say a sad thing.
Me too.
Kobe Bryant got killed yesterday, and it fucking hit me like a ton of bricks. That. Like, I don't even hardcore follow the NBA.
And all the other seven people and his daughter.
Yes. But, so I was up on the mountain all day yesterday, so I didn't have cell phone coverage. And I come home, and then, you know how you're just like casually checking on your phone? Like, all of a sudden that headline came up, and I almost, couldn't even, understand what I was seeing. Because just the night before, we were, Paul and I were out to dinner fucking talking about Kobe Bryant because LeBron had just passed his all-time scoring record. And my son, Asher, is obsessed with basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
Like, he watches, I bought him the cool Amazon thing where you can watch any game in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he plays basketball, you know, for the high school team. So, like, it just... I was surprised by how, sad I got, and I was impacted by this person that I think it was just the suddenness, because I don't really follow basketball, but I know who he is, but I don't nothing beyond that. but just how you could be like just talking about this person the night before, and then suddenly they're just gone. It just
anything can
it
happen.
It felt just very, very, just it just struck me and like made me feel really sad. Mm-hmm. I've still felt sad today. That's why I'm wearing my purple sweater for Lakers.
And I wouldn't have put that together because that doesn't look like a Lakers sweater. It looks like a work sweater.
I don't own a Lakers sweater.
Oh, okay.
And I don't own any actual purple clothes. So this is my closest attempt to try to show my pain to the world. Mm. But yeah, it really made me sad. Mm. I've been sad. I was sad yesterday and sad today.
I mean, I'm going to draw a pretty good parallel.
I know what you're going to say.
On Monday, we had to put Sam down. Sam's a dog, not a person. Sammy.
I don't think people put people down, do they?
Well, I felt like I had to make that clear after.
I think that's called murder. If you put a person
down. It's kind of like a dog. Like, I'm not going to murder the dog. I'm going to put them down gently.
Yeah, there's different standards.
Yeah.
Not that there should be, maybe, but there is.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was 17. She was old and wasn't eating very well and wasn't walking like at all. So, and I have to huge thanks to my dad because he did the parent thing and did it for me.
He shot her.
No, he took her to the vet.
Oh.
Yes, he shot her. The ground's too hard. You have to bury her. So. You know, rest in peace, Sammy.
R.I.P. Sammy and Kobe and all the other people on the chopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa's not doing good. She's been shitting all over the house the last few days and puking. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with her. So I'm down to no rugs in the house because every time she diarrheas all over a rug, I just roll it up and throw it away.
Good call.
It's
good
never going to come out all the way, you know. So, yeah, I'm no rugs now, and I made Lisa her special Lisa loaf, as I call it. When her appetite goes down, usually she'll eat the Lisa loaf still. It's like a meatloaf made just for her.
That's very nice of you. Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Sammy might have lived longer if I fed her
a Sammy loaf.
A Sammy loaf.
A Sammy sandwich.
That's cute. All right. Yeah.
It's all about the alliteration, Macy.
So that's my check-ins. That's all. Okay. No more doggy diapers. Pretty happy about that part, though.
Yeah. Having old dogs is so sad. Like, I don't know if I want another dog again, because it's been just so sad with Lusa. You know, they're so cute as puppies, but you never know if they're going to have health problems.
They eventually die, everybody. It happens.
Well, and we spent with everybody together, like, $10,000 on her medical bills. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot of money.
And that bought her another year of life.
Well, I'm excited to hear about what your topic is today.
Well, it's not a happy topic.
It isn't?
Maybe you should go first.
No, feel like you go.
We're Debbie Downer zone.
Mine's not really like a Debbie Downer. So, I mean, I can go first if you want.
Well, do we want to end on a happy or end on a...
A downer?
A downer.
Okay. All right. Go. Oh.
We're both saying the same thing at the same time.
You should go.
Okay. Well, this is a topic that I've been wanting to cover for a while. I have to cough. I was out in the damp all day yesterday. So I've mentioned this before on the podcast that there is a huge problem with transgender women of color being murdered in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finally getting around to covering it as a topic. So to get more info and factoids on this.
Mine is definitely a funner topic, but it can wait. I'll lighten it up at the end.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll do a fun topic next time.
Okay, sounds good.
But this is something that has been on my list for a while to cover. So in 2019... there were about 25 deaths, murders of
put downs,
transgender and gender nonconforming people. And almost all of these were women of color, like 21 were women of color. So that's, or 20. So that's like a big problem right there. So there's this group called the Human Rights Campaign that they do a lot of data tracking and advocating in this area. So all of this info that I'm reporting on comes from their group. So if you want to actually learn more, go check out their website, humanrightscampaign.com,
because it's a website.
Is it? Oh, it's an org, actually.
Is it an org?
HRC.org. I think all the .coms got taken.
That's not true.
Back in the .com time.
Just got a .com. So.
Well, maybe nobody wanted MacyStead.com. It was saved for you.
Put it down, .com.
So all these victims were killed by acquaintances, partners, and strangers. Some have been arrested, and some are unsolved cases. And some of these cases involve are clear hate crimes, anti-transgender bias. And then in other cases, the transgender status might have put them at risk in other ways, which I'll get into. But unemployment, poverty, homelessness, and being forced into survival sex work are all factors in this. Mm-hmm. So this is looking at people that are marginalized in more than one way. So not only are you a minority, you're also in this other group. So it's like this intersection of a lot of these things. And then often poverty comes into it. So it's this huge intersection of all these factors.
And some questions that have come up, just FYI for as you keep talking, questions. but any data on who is attacking them, like specifically in any particular area of the country that's worse? Or,
well, I have this list of all the people, and I can just go through and say the places real quick. Alabama, Florida, Memphis. What state is that? Tennessee. Got it. Maryland, Cleveland, Dallas, which is Texas, nailed it again. Philadelphia, that's a city.
Or it's the Eagles.
What's the state of Philadelphia? Or is that a state? Oh my God, we're so stupid. Detroit.
This is your topic.
Which is a city?
Pennsylvania.
Detroit is in, oh yeah, Philadelphia. Wait, Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania?
Wait, someone said Pennsylvania.
Oh, see? Thank you. And Detroit is in Michigan. Another Dallas, North Carolina.
Geography is not our strong point.
Another Maryland, Missouri, South Carolina, North Carolina. So a lot of Carolinas on the list.
We're also really bad at math. But
yes, Florida, Ohio, another South Carolina, Maryland, another Florida, Kansas, Houston, which is Texas. Where's my points, Macy? I got like 3 geography questions right on this.
I'm not, no, you don't get points.
Washington, our state, and New York. And then there's some ones where they're not sure, and this agency is kind of looking into, and those were in Texas. One was in Texas, another one.
So are these people
often, Rikers Island, wherever that is.
No idea. Are these people like getting caught, or do they tend to get away with it?
Well, I'll do a couple case studies at the end. I had a few pulled up.
So you're telling me to be quiet and just listen to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because this website is nice because they do a profile on each person because they want them to be more than numbers. Mm-hmm. They want them to be human beings. So as much as possible, they're trying to tell their story and get some quotes from people that actually knew them from their community or family mm-hmm. members. Yeah, so let me go to my PDF. So they did this really great PDF, but it's from 2015. So that stuff was from 2019, I was just saying. But they haven't done a new PDF. So this stuff is not that old, but it's slightly older. But I think it all probably still applies. So the majority of these killings are from gun deaths. So another thing that this group is saying is that access to guns may also be another factor in this. But there's also beatings and trauma, stabbings, and, you know, some have not been solved. Like, they'll just find somebody just laying out somewhere and there won't be any witnesses or anything. So part of the problem with this is data, gathering data, because it's hard to know how to classify this because a lot of people are misgendered after their death. So maybe the family didn't agree with them transitioning and is saying, no, this was my brother or my son, even though they were identifying as a woman. And so that's one of the problems with data is them being misgendered. So there could be a lot more cases.
Mm-hmm. What's the website? This is humanrights.org or humanrightscampaign.org?
HRC.org. Oh. Human rights. Yeah, I think campaign.
HRC.org?
HRC.org, yes.
Just in case people want to go
humanrightscampaign.org. Right, so...
So misgendered, what that means is if somebody has been, say they identify as being female, they identify as being a woman, and say they're murdered and their body's found, and say they did not have physical surgery to match with the organs that people would say are female sex, then they would get classified as potentially being male post-death, which can make it challenging to identify the person. If somebody's reporting a woman missing and the coroner or whoever that is says that it's a male that's been found that's dead.
Right. And it probably, so these stats are probably underreported because of that.
Yes.
So it's very likely that more than 25 individuals were murdered, transgender women individuals. All right, so let's see. And then another problem is actually getting these categorized as hate crimes, because there has to be evidence, you know, like maybe a witness seen like yelling out things or something obvious like that.
Which is so hard. I have a family member who dealt with their car windows being smashed out continuously and nobody else's cars were getting vandalized. It just was their car over and over again, and they got followed on the way home from a gay bar downtown. And but that's not enough evidence, so they couldn't really do anything about it.
Right. So these hate crime laws aren't set up in a way that we can really characterize these crimes properly, and that's necessary because if you really want to get people riled up to fight against anti-transgender violence, you have to say that there's a problem. And so when these crimes are not getting classified correctly, that's a barrier to this whole situation. So we don't really know how widespread the violence really is. So it's difficult to get the data, however you want to say it. Data.
Potato, potato.
Tomato, tomato. Oh. Okay. Will you refill me?
Yes.
Thank you. We're drinking a nice Syrah that Macy provided. We usually tend towards wines that have a screw off top or come in a can because we're fucking lazy.
So I'm topping myself up as well. So a good question got posed. So why do we think people attack people who are transgender? I think there could be a lot of different reasons, but you were listing some of them as far as like...
Yeah, there's a lot of risk factors, which I'll get into.
Okay. And this is, again, sorry, Room, you're with me. I think we're being told to just be patient. I don't do well with that, so...
I'm not allowed to see the room.
I encourage you to grab a glass of wine. It really helps with the pauses.
Oh, my God.
I appreciate you.
I love you too. So the patterns really show that there's widespread violence and harassment against the transgender community. particularly transgender women of color who disproportionately live in poverty. So poverty is a risk factor here. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons, because there can be more violence and dangerous sitches when you live in poverty, because maybe you're having to take more chances just to survive.
Yes.
Did you not like that word, sitches?
Sounds like you said stitches.
Well, that's how it is in the hood. Bitches get stitches. Snitches get stitches. Okay, so here's the most shocking thing of this whole thing, and I double highlighted it on my PDF. So it's a dark orange instead of a yellow. So transgender women are over four times, have more than four times the risk of becoming homicide victims than the general population of all women. I was like shocked by that. Like, why is not everybody talking about this?
Well, and it's really, so in my, so when I did my, my dissertation, I did a lot of research around violence towards gender and gender nonconforming and the trans community. And really a big, there was a huge portion of people who, I mean, the dating scene is honestly can be dangerous, where yes, it's dangerous for a female in some ways, you know, going and meeting a male that you've never met, perhaps. There's a level of danger there, but add another layer to that of that maybe hitting it off. And then like, do you decide to disclose to them that you're transgender beforehand and risk not having somebody want to meet you? Or do you want them to get to know you and then have them find out later and then potentially have violence against you for that? Like, there's a lot of things that there's just like this extra layer.
Yeah. So that over four times is a conservative estimate. So probably higher. So I just want to say that again, because I think it's the most important thing of my whole research, is that transgender women have over four times, like well over four times the risk of becoming homicide victims compared to...
Or homicide victims.
However you say it. Of being murked than the general population of all women. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Yes.
You know I can't say words.
I know.
I say robot. So
wait, what?
We all know that's wrong. I've been really trying not to say that.
Did
but
you say robot?
Yeah,
like robot.
Yeah,
but robot, like a butt. Like,
well, bottom. I'm trying not to say that, but I'm just saying I can't say words.
Okay,
it's because I read too much as a child, and I didn't know how words were actually pronounced. Like, I just would make up my own like sounds, pronunciations in my head
really
that didn't
sad.
Exist. I know. It's so sad.
You yell at your mom until she needs to read to you more.
I had a sad childhood. All right. So poverty and marginalization are risk factors. So people are asking, like, why? So here's one of the whys. Why are you pointing at me?
Well, it's because you can't see the room. So someone made a really good point about, like, how many people may be in, like, down low relationships with people who identify as being trans. I think the same thing can maybe even go for people who identify as being gay. And there are, I mean, people who will be in a committed relationship, have a wife and kids who do have side relationships like that. And there's been research studies. There's a couple out there. I don't have them off the top of my head, but where they've actually tested some of those things with who would meet up in public,
like hookups,
places. Yeah,
or like showing, like being public with your relationship. So you mean,
no,
like it's more hidden sometimes.
Yeah, like hookups, like what percentage of these people are actually, you know, married and have families and are hiding some of their sexual desires, or you know, they're keeping that on the down low, and then potentially could get violent because they get embarrassed by that, or they have some social impact.
I'm just going to guess that most of those are white males.
Some internalized homophobia.
Also, because if they're maybe purchasing people that are working in the sex trade, I would say most of the ones that can afford that are white males. I learned that in my sex trafficking training I went to a few months ago. It's life-changing. That's going to be a future topic. I'm going to talk about child sex trafficking.
Okay, let me know that day so I can like balance it off with something.
With something
little,
happy? Like
a little light. I mean, happy is
like clowns too.
Happy is, ooh, I like that. I miss my clown topic. That was fun.
Yeah. So poverty and marginalization, again, are some of the risk factors. So a 2011 study found transgender people in the U.S. are nearly four times as likely to be living in extreme poverty. And so this issue of poverty is compounded by racial injustice and discrimination. So this is that intersection again. Mm-hmm. So Black transgender people are more than eight times as likely than the general U.S. population, and four times more likely than the general Black population to be living in extreme poverty. So it just, all the risks just end up just becoming whatever that, exponential, that math term.
Well, and a lot of this comes down to stats. Like, it's not saying that white males are the people who are killing transgender people, but it's saying that statistically those who have, who are spending the money.
Oh, yes, in sex
sex purchasing, those statistically have been linked to white men, yes. Just basically socioeconomic status wise, yes. Just to clarify that.
That's, yes, that's a different topic. Sorry to confuse that. So, I mean, there's probably some connection, probably. But by and large, that's a different topic. So living in poverty can mean a higher risk for violence because you might be forced into underground economies for survival, such as drug sales, sex work. So that puts you at an increased risk for violence and assault and mm-hmm. sexual assault. So that's another risk. Intimate partner violence, which is also known as domestic violence, is another risk factor. So it's pretty well known that there's higher rates of intimate partner violence in mm-hmm. the LGBTQ community than yes. in the straight community.
Yeah, someone brought that up earlier. Domestic violence is a pretty big one.
Yeah. So while some of this have been, you know, hate crimes by strangers, many of the victims die at the hands of people closest to them. Mm-hmm. And then because of stigma and barriers to getting help, there's not a lot of access to safety nets. So this quote, I'm going to read this quote by Catherine something.
Wait, what?
By Catherine, who's an expert on intimate partner violence. So she says,
expert Catherine.
Or they say, transgender people are at much higher risk for intimate partner violence and sexual violence than non-transgender people, and that they face pervasive institutionalized discrimination when seeking services at support from healthcare, law enforcement, and shelter. Mm-hmm. So the places that you would normally turn to for safety, they're experiencing that discrimination.
Yeah, and that's so part of my research was actually looking at the barriers facing that population when trying to come into counseling services. And it was amazing the amount of barriers. I mean, one that just anybody has accessing mental health, but like even how counselor discomfort in talking about gender identity, avoiding it altogether, over focusing on it was often a thing mm-hmm. as well.
They don't really know how to handle it
and like
how to navigate it at all.
Really a lack of training. However, they're often, counselors often put as the gatekeepers for things like sex affirming surgeries. So it's becomes this barrier of I need to see a counselor because I'm being required to, but this counselor literally has no training to work with me. And can lead to things like discrimination and
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, don't be sorry. This is supposed to be a convo, not a monologue or a lecture.
I like your monologues.
Okay. So sexual assault is another risk factor. Research shows that half of all transgender people will be sexually assaulted at some point during their life, which is twice that of the general population. Another risk factor, unemployment and survival sex work. So survival sex work is when you're doing sex work because you need to eat, you know, basically put food, a roof over your head, food, shelter, the basic, survival stuff. So research has found that transgender people had double the national unemployment rate. And then transgender people of color faced unemployment rates up to 4 times that of the general population. So again, there's that intersection of being a part of multiple marginalized communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I mean, I've heard that from people I know in that community where like getting a job can be really hard of like wanting to, and there's in seeking out certain kinds of like Starbucks, for example, is a very affirming workplace and is known for their policies that specifically protect their employees, and other places are not and will say, sorry, you can't present in the gender that you prefer, you know, and let alone having policies that protect them as employees.
Yeah. So if you're unemployed and you're facing extreme poverty and barriers to healthcare, and that includes transition-related care. So transgender people are often compelled to engage in these underground economies just to survive. So this leads to a heightened risk for harassment and violence, sexual assault, and then police harassment as well. And then that gives you no place to turn, really. So if you're in trouble, the normal places you and I would go to for support, like law enforcement or a shelter, if you're facing discrimination from those places, it just leaves you alone and more at risk.
Well, and if you think about it, too, even closer to home is, you know, family. And you may have family that's not supportive of you. You may have family that has rejected you or has completely cut you out. So, and not everybody, by no means everybody. There's a lot of supportive people out there, but there's a lot of people who aren't.
There's a lot of assholes out there. There's good people, but there's a lot of assholes. So if you're one of the good people, I think as a good person, just really be very open about your goodness, like speak your truth and make your goodness outshine the dark corners of the assholes. Bleach those assholes. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, so 34% of the transgender people killed in 2015 were engaging in survival sex work at the time of their deaths. So that talks about that heightened vulnerability to violence. And then nearly half of transgender people surveyed said they were not going to go to the police for help. Like it was not helpful and actually would maybe even become violent for them. Mm-hmm. So
I've had an experience, multiple times, but this specific one with a client who I really, they reached out and they were like, I really connect with you. Please don't. And they were like begging me, like, please don't stop working with me. It's so hard to find somebody who I can't hear judgment in their voice. And like, just hearing that was like, it just crushed me that because we're counselors.
It shouldn't be rare.
It shouldn't be. Yeah. That shouldn't be their norm, but it is. And just the fear behind.
Unfortunately,
that.
There's a lot of shitty counselors out there.
I know that.
It's very disappointing.
I know for a fact. It's sad. There's again a lot of good counselors, but when you're close enough, you know more.
Yeah,
we know a lot.
When you see what people are doing, you're like, really, really, you're doing that?
How long have you been allowed to do that? Oh, great. Like,
I get that it's not illegal, but it's highly unethical.
Who's your supervisor? Okay.
Oh, you're the supervisor. Oh.
So your whole team is doing this. Wonderful.
So another risk factor that I hadn't really thought about that I thought was really interesting is having a lack of accurate identity documents. So that can impact like every area of a trans person's lives. So that includes access to employment, healthcare, emergency housing, public services.
The ID they find on you.
Not getting fucking arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Identifying your body.
Well, and it's such a pain to have to change your sex. I mean, that's a big deal because It's not as easy as a name change.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it can impact access to education, like so many things, so many services that can be out of reach if you don't have those accurate identity documents.
After being married and then divorced later, just having to change my last name has taken me, it's been probably 6 years and I still have documents with my old last name on it, and it causes problems to this day. It's a pain. The system is not made well for flexibility.
So one of the barriers to getting accurate identity documents is it can be expensive. So if you're already living in poverty, that is going to be a barrier to getting these. And then something I hadn't heard of, which I didn't know, is that some states require evidence of medical transition to give you a gender change on your identity documents, which I had no idea that existed.
That's interesting.
Crazy beans. All right, that's all my stats. So this, the website that I was talking about before, that what's it called, humanrightscampaign.org, they do a piece on each of the individuals that was murdered, and I just thought I'd pull up a few just to highlight that this is aren't just numbers, these are people that had people that cared about them. So one was Pebbles LaDime, went by Dime, and she was a Black trans woman killed in South Carolina, 24-year-old. And she was found dead with gunshot wounds in a car parked in a driveway. And it looks like this one is unsolved. So people on social media said she was a bright personality, someone who showed love, and who was the best to be around. Another person said, "All I knew Friday was my last time seeing you, I would have hugged you. If I knew Friday was my last time seeing you, I would have hugged you even tighter." So that's one person. And then Zoe Spears was age 23. And so most of these are early, are 20s, 20-year-olds, by the way. Which,
so I have to say, the ones I've seen in the media have been...
Yeah, there's a couple teens 20s. On the list, and then a couple older individuals, mm-hmm. but by and large, most of them were in their 20s.
Which, if you think, that's like a lot of sexual interaction time as far as dating, bars.
You're out there, public, you're independent, you maybe don't have as much family support.
Mm-hmm. And, more independence.
Yeah. And also, it's just such a, I mean, they're young. That's a, like a loss of potential right there. It's just even more tragic. So Zoe, or Zoe, I'm not sure, was found lying in the street with signs of trauma just outside of Washington, D.C., and later pronounced dead. And so the homicide department was investigating it and said that a suspect was arrested in July, but it doesn't say whether or not they were actually prosecuted. So her parents said she was my daughter, very bright and full of life. So that shows there was family acceptance there. And I'll just do one more. This is an older person, Bubba Walker, age 55, was killed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her body was found in the rubble of a house fire. So that's being investigated as a homicide. It looks like that one is unsolved as of the, according to this website. And Bubba Walker was remembered by family and friends as a cautious, funny, and sometimes reserved person. Very kind, loved helping people.
One of the things that I encourage people to think of is that the verbiages that we use tend to get outdated very quickly.
Yes.
We learn that in the counseling world. Things fade in and fade out, often based on social norms. And keeping in mind that a lot of people who I Are you okay?
Just choking on my wine. No, no problem. Continue.
So people who you might identify as transgender actually may identify as I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And like just being okay with calling them a woman.
People are in charge of their own names.
Yeah. Like I prefer they, their pronouns. Whatever it is for them, being respectful, and it's okay to ask.
Yeah, and it's okay to for most people, it's okay to fuck up too. Like they get it.
Most people are very understanding. Like,
especially if it's somebody you've known for a long time and you're used to one way, like you're gonna fuck up. It's human nature.
Yeah, and they often really appreciate even just the attempt to try. And you may feel like it's like a struggle, but think of how many people they may interact with every day who don't care. Or who are rude. And I've heard from people directly that they face discrimination on a daily basis. So that one little attempt to understand what the world is like for them and to respect how they view themselves can go a long way.
Absolutely. Because there's tons of different terms and labels out there, but everybody's in charge of labeling themselves. Nobody can label you but you.
Yeah.
So this was one of those cases of somebody being misgendered in coverage of the crime. But members of the Charlotte transgender community worked really hard to ensure that Walker's life and true identity was known and honored across social media. So that's all I have.
Your topic? That was a good topic.
Yeah, I'm glad I finally dove into that because it's something like a heard about for a while, but to be able to like go in and like see the faces, see the like the stories and the actual research that's being done.
Yep. Just know that what you do matters.
And you're talking about me?
No, I'm sorry. Keeping people safe. It's a good the conversation in the room is really good right now. So I'm sorry. I'm giving you like quarter of my attention.
Damn it, Macy. I matter too.
You matter the most. Sorry, guys.
I'm important. I'm a person.
You are a person. So I'm excited for my topic.
All right. You're going to lighten the mood a little bit?
I mean, a little bit, I guess. I'm going to talk about pickpocketing.
Oh.
Yeah.
God damn it. I wish I could have that skill.
It is really a skill.
It's like magic.
It is. Have you seen, there's a guy who will like go and do shows where he pulls people up on the stage and he does his like pickpocketing stuff.
I don't go to shows.
Okay, well, there's YouTube, so
I'll look it up.
Okay.
But I wish I had the skill where you, like, distract them. You, like, give them a little jostle, and then suddenly you have their wallet, and they don't know about it. Or you plant something on them.
What are you planting? I wasn't talking about planting things.
Well, it's reverse pickpocketing.
That's true. That's a whole other topic.
Pocket placing.
Pocket placing, a whole new career.
Like, if you want to plant drugs on them, or whatnot.
It's giving me so many ideas. So
whatever you just did when you hit something, suddenly both sides of my headphones work.
Are they working now?
Yeah. I've just been like uni-ear all night.
I did that on purpose.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe if you like hit me really hard on the head, I'll come to my senses.
It's totally how head trauma works. So I wanted to talk about this. There was a time when I used to play in bands. I played drums in a punk band at one time in my life. What are you anding? What?
My favorite thing about you is that you used to play accordion in a punk band.
Yes.
While singing, which is not easy.
Yeah, and fairly irrelevant. So
I need to remind myself when I listen to this later to post a picture of Macy playing accordion in a punk band.
Oh, thanks.
That was to me.
And I've played drums and bass. But
yeah, but again, accordion.
Oh, you really enjoyed that.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You're the only accordion player I know.
I still have my accordion. I haven't played it in a long time. So anyways, I was playing a show and I had my phone in my back pocket. And I remember because I kept kind of checking it all night. Like feeling like, okay, there's my phone. There's my phone. Because I knew one of these fuckers would take my phone.
Those fuckers.
And they did when I was least expecting it after I drank a little bit. And it was just gone. And I remember texting my phone like, I'll pay you money. Then threatening and calling and nothing. So have you ever had anything taken off of you?
Not that way.
But What way?
I had things stolen from me or whatever, but it's usually my fault because I'm being a dumb stoner teenager.
Like you left something?
Yeah. Yeah. Like usually losing things.
Okay, that's more of like you losing things.
And it's then not really being pickpocketed.
Somebody taking advantage of your forgiveness.
Yeah, but they didn't give it back. So that's sort of half stealing.
Well, I wouldn't give it back, maybe. I don't know. If I knew it was you.
Damn it. But karma.
Probably keep it. Yeah, it's okay. So a lot of these crimes tend to happen. So yes, they can happen anywhere. But Europe is like the biggie for...
Really? Do tell.
So a lot of museums have really just said that they cannot protect the public or themselves.
Oh my god!
From pickpocketing.
I just had a thought.
Okay.
You know what I see at museums all the fucking time?
Paintings.
In the U.S. is people walking around with their backpacks on their front. I wonder if that's because of that.
It is. People Holy get pickpocketed. Shit. So, and actually museums are a high like point for pickpocketing because, and actually anything where someone's attention, I looked on some of the psychology behind it, which is really interesting, but
psychology,
that's what we do. So when your attention is drawn to something specific that is outside of the norm, so concerts, museums where you're like looking like, oh, I just want to see Mona Lisa smile. Mm-hmm. Like your focus is very diverted. And so those things tend to be the best market for pickpocketers because it plays against your brain. And even things that play against your brain that you wouldn't think of. So doing things with your hands to distract somebody. If I move my hand like this, you see my hand from start A to point B, which is like I'm going across.
These are not the this droids is horizontal. You seek. That's what you just did.
Oh, is that the reference?
Yes. Is that it might not be did the exact words, but
Star Wars reference.
I did. I just Star Wars do.
Anyways, yes, that. And then, but if you did your hand in like an arc.
Like a rainbow.
Or like a rainbow.
Imagination. That was a SpongeBob reference.
I'm so glad that you're a part of this. And do a rainbow motion with your hand. The eyes actually aren't tracking the middle part as well. So they track the beginning point of hand and end point of hand. So it creates this point where
you're still in the middle.
So you do this point where the brain is trying to focus.
Thank you for these instructions.
You're welcome. I'm going to even get more into this. It's exciting.
Because I've never pickpocketed in my life.
So I started looking at like pickpocketing in general. And honestly, the stats are all over the place because most people nowadays just report it as lost because they can get some, you know, get their phone back in a...
That's better than stolen?
Well, yeah, because like what are the police going to do? Often nothing. So they report it lost and then they get their phone reimbursed or whatever from their carrier. Mm. So it's the data really doesn't make a lot of sense. It's all over the place.
Or the data.
Yeah. Data.
Data.
Really. Data makes me sound smarter. So.
Data so, makes me
so when you look,
love Star Trek.
When oh, he would. So when I worked in in-home care, random side note, when I worked in in-home care, I had someone that lived there who wore a Star Wars outfit every day. And I worked there. So I worked an 8-hour shift in the home and he watched Star Wars nonstop. I hate Star Wars now. I hate it. He'd put trivia on every day for me and would just school me every day in Star Wars trivia and make me feel stupid every day.
But
and he had a cool outfit and I did not.
But Baby Yoda.
Oh, is that a thing that you're into now?
How can you not love Baby Yoda? Who might not even be Baby Yoda, by the way, but everybody's calling him Baby Yoda or it, so I will too. But
whatever.
So fucking cute. Have you not seen Baby Yoda?
Does Baby Yoda identify as Baby Yoda?
No, Baby Yoda doesn't speak.
Doesn't? How come all the memes speak for Baby Yoda?
No, people have labeled this Baby Yoda, but I've read in the deep nerd section of the web that it might not even be Yoda. But Baby Yoda's so fucking cute.
Why are you taking over my topic right now? Back off.
I just want to show you pictures of Baby Yoda.
I have seen.
Oh, how can you not?
I have an ET thing, and it's very ET-esque, and I don't like it. It gives me nightmares. Put it away.
But those eyes.
What do you mean? The, like, alien, buggy, creepy,
did you
hairless
watch the Mandalorian season
baby
one?
Old man? I don't... Why is that supposed to be cute to me? Babies are creepy enough.
Big eyes are just cute. They just are. Always. I'm sure it's been studied extensively in Japan.
Anyways, so when you look up pickpocketing, you get a lot of like things to be aware of. But then I started looking at how to pickpocket, and then you get a really big.
Yes, I want to know.
Plethora.
Tell me more.
So, to first of all, like the like what to be aware of. This I want to share what the internet thinks that you should be aware of, and then tell you how you actually are going to get pickpocketed. Anyways, so. Be aware that the innocent bystander who witnesses another person trip or bump you, that like if somebody trips you or bumps into you, like watch what they're doing. There may be more going on there. The person asking for directions or pointing something out to you, because if you start focusing on something else, you're not focusing on what they're doing next to you anymore. The couple in an argument who creates a scene while you're distracted and then something's happening behind
you. So it's
you.
A team effort.
There was a really interesting one so in Amsterdam, because they have the walkways where you can actually like walk under the bridges. And so they'll have people drop what looks like bird poop on your shoulder. So they'll drop bird poop looking stuff on you and then have these like really innocent girls come up like, oh my goodness. And start like trying to help you clean it up. And you're so like horrified because like there's this public thing about getting pooped on by a bird that you don't like.
I do not like getting shit on in public ever.
And so
no matter what the animal.
You're like horrified and embarrassed, and like a pretty girl comes up to you and starts cleaning bird poop out. You are very distracted. And that is a perfect opportunity for their friend who's standing next to you to grab something out of your pocket or unzip your backpack when you're not aware.
Such a good idea.
I know, I'm giving great ideas tonight. A person who spills something on you, it's actually a pretty common trick. So while they're apologizing and again attempting to clean up, they might be pulling. Because a lot of these people have a lot of experience. And when I started looking up how to pickpocket, like you can actually like reach out to pickpocketer. I'm not promoting this, just so you know. But it's just really interesting.
It's a good skill to have even if you don't ever use it, in my opinion.
Because then you know. So I read this whole blog journal of this guy who wanted to learn how to pickpocket. And he ended up doing it. And at the end, he gave the stuff back. But he wanted to like learn how to do it and see if he was brave enough to do it.
And also, if you know how to do it, you know how to not have it done to you.
Yes.
In theory.
So, yeah, exactly. So you can keep a lookout for your friends, too, if you're on the good side.
So I used to be a thief. I've admitted that on the cast.
So you haven't lost things, but you've stolen things, you thiefer.
I stole a lot of things. I used to steal all the fucking time, starting when I was 8 years old or 7 was my first time. And I stole all the way up until my very early 20s. And I haven't stole since then, but I was really fucking good. I never, ever, ever got caught except my first time. But they let me go because I was like 7 or 8.
You were 7 or 8 years old?
Yeah. Hmm. And they like felt sorry for me. And it was like the '70s, you know. So you could get away with a lot more back then. But that's I true. Never pickpocketed. It was more stealing from stores and stuff that I would do.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So how would you spot someone like this? So this to me is a little ridiculous because if you're like watching for this all the time, I mean, somebody carrying things like jackets and newspapers, they often use this to shield what their hands are doing.
First of all, if somebody's carrying a fucking newspaper, immediately I'm suspect and think they're a time traveler.
Oh, of course. Be aware of people watching you. Oh, so this is one that was really interesting. So in Europe, they have signs posted
what?
In places that say caution, pickpocketers. Like they know that.
Oh, it's like a certain area.
But those are the worst places. Because what do you do when you see that sign as just a regular person?
I had to make sure like my purse was zipped up or whatnot.
Yeah, you start checking your valuables. So pickpocketers will actually go to those areas specifically because people will tell them
where the valuables are.
Oh,
it's a fucking tell.
Yeah. They'll be like,
that's
checking,
brilliant.
Oh, it's my phone in my pocket.
brilliant. Is my blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, right?
Oh my God. I want to put up a sign over by the park that says warning pickpocketers and just watch what people do.
Well, it's so true because, I mean, the second you see that, you're like, oh no. And then you check.
Yeah.
And so those are common spots because one, it's known to be crowded. People are going to be giving you their tells. And all you got to do is wait for the moment that they stop checking.
Yeah. I used to go to a lot of like shows, concerts and stuff. And I never would carry a purse or any of that. I would keep everything in my bra because as a member of the IBTC, I got a lot of room in there. Like I can.
What's IBT? Oh. Itty bitty titty committee. Yeah. Got it.
Like I can put my
I was
keys,
a member of that until I was 13 and then I was promptly booted.
Keys, from said cash, committee. Chapstick, tampons on one side, maybe a little snack on the other side. Like I got it all going on and I'm gonna know if somebody's up in there.
I would not look great with snacks shoved in my mouth. It'd be very noticeable.
Like a sandwich on one side.
Lettuce hanging out. Also, like children, groups of children begging for change, especially if there's a crowd around you, like be aware. These kids are scary.
Fucking kids.
If you see a crowd of babies around you, get really worried.
Babies be tripping. I'm here to tell you.
Stay clear of people who are drunk. So. Because they may be faking it. So oftentimes they'll stumble into you. They'll wait till like you're coming out of the bar and then they'll stumble into you like, oh, and sometimes they're girls or guys, depending on who the person is. And like use that excuse of like having way too closeness.
To grab shit.
Yeah. If you think about if you stand in an elevator with somebody, what do? You stand opposite sides facing each other, right? You do not.
No, I don't face them.
What do you do?
I stare at the door.
Okay, but you're like trying not to be in proximity and apparently
yes, opposite corners.
You'd be
for sure.
You'd be a great victim because you're averting all my life. Eye contact. Where so that setting where like don't get close to me. However, you know, standing in a line to see I don't know, on a Disney ride. Like somebody being shoulder to shoulder with you, you're all of a sudden okay with, but you wouldn't have been okay with like in your personal space when there's like a really wide sidewalk and you're just
when there's a lot of jostling, you might not notice.
Well, and not that you're noticing, like this goes a little more like subconsciously, our bubble becomes smaller and we become more socially acceptable of a smaller space because we've said, okay, this is socially acceptable in this setting. So pickpocketers will wait for those times when it's socially acceptable to be that close to you. So concerts where I got my phone taken from my pocket. It was so stupid too, because it was sticking out half my pocket. I was an easy victim. Stupid. Stupid.
Yeah, but just that doesn't give people permission to steal from you just because you're being stupid.
No, but let me now tell you what pickpocketers want you to not know is that they tend to work in groups. So there's usually like people who do this to make money. It's not usually just one person. So, you know, while you're getting distracted and they'll try to give you something to be worried about on this side and then do something on the other.
Assemble a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they also like those high traffic areas. So busy, better. For them.
Busy, better.
One of the quotes by somebody who is part of a CEO of a travel security company said, "The movements of victims are predictable. The criminal can take time to plan out movements with rhythm of the victim." And keeping in mind, like these people who like maybe stay on the same street or go to the same venue and they have this stuff mapped out and they watch the movements and find the predictabilities in people's behavior and patterns.
So for our town, like where would be a good pickpocketing spot?
I mean, probably any of the bars for sure.
Bars, yeah.
Would be a big one. Concerts. Davenport, probably. Oh. Like, because you know people are... Because for traveling, like wearing jewelry, and if you're going to wear fancy things... You're making yourself a target because it's okay. I know that you probably are carrying more than that person over there is. So
yeah.
Clothing is also a biggie. A lot of people who are savvy travelers will dress the way the culture does there. You know, dressing
instead
like
of flaunting,
yeah, dressing wealth. Like an American in Europe or wherever you're going, you're going to get spotted out as a tourist, which means you're probably carrying cash with you or something, or card. But either way, like, you're carrying your valuables with you.
What about those money belts? What do you think about
ooh,
those?
Ooh, airport. That's a good one. Valley Mall. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Valley Mall.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a population in the Valley Mall. Perhaps
maybe
the
at
downtown.
Times during a good sale.
Ooh, there was a really good one that I read about. I mean, sorry.
A good sale?
No.
Oh, it's like, damn it. And you didn't text me?
I just find this interesting, so I feel bad when I get excited. But when you come out of a movie theater, so because you're coming from a dark to a light, your brain is transitioning. So that's another transition moment.
So you're distracted.
Yeah. So at times like that, somebody bumps into you from behind. You go, oh, what was that? And then you just move on with your day. Yeah.
So I would like to see somebody skilled enough to unzip my purse and get my wallet out without me noticing. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of distraction would that take? It'd have to be pretty big.
But some of them are so subtle, like that guy that does them. I'll give you the name.
You gotta
after.
Have quick hands.
Yeah.
Sticky fingers, as they say.
So this frequent traveler, I'll just give the last name, Foster, has been pickpocketed 9 times, and 7 of those were on public transport. So that's a big one. Buses, subways, all those different settings. Because it's easy to put your guard down. Like, I want to put my headphones in and, like, tune people out. But when you're tuning people out, you're not paying attention to what's going on around you because you're trying to be in your own little
zone.
You're not
paying attention to your environment.
So this is where they suggest, like, keep your purse or your wallet in front of you, which
the
you
front
said.
Pack.
Yeah, you said the front pack.
I see that at museums all the time. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
It's because
everybody
when they go and
looks
they search
pregnant.
Online, they wear their little pack in the front.
So it's not a backpack. It's a front pack.
Because they want to make sure no one's stealing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, well, now I get it. Good. I just thought it was some weird trend that had come up from Japan or something.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No. So tourist attractions are also, like, there's people that, well, did I tell you that I got tied to?
Tied to what?
I got Macy? Tied to a man.
Wait, what are we talking? Did we switch topics?
No, well, sort of. I didn't get pickpocketed, but I got harassed for money repeatedly.
You got tied to a man?
3 times.
With string?
3 times.
Or what are we talking about?
When I was in Europe. So what happened? So they had these guys who would...
What kind of trip did you go on?
This is a very touristy kind. And so they made me a friendship bracelet. And they're like, oh, where are you from? And there were multiple people around me all of a sudden.
Is this,
like,
a scam?
And they were like, oh, where are you from? Oh, Washington Seahawks. Yeah, we love the Seahawks. I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God. They have, like, a script of, like, 3 things they say.
And they tied this bracelet on me that apparently has, like, a slip knot. So if I tried to pull it, it would just tie it tighter.
Oh, it's like one of those, like, finger traps.
Like a, yes, it is. And then they're like, they put it on me and I'm just laughing and they're like, no, it's free. And I'm like, oh, good. Cause I free. I don't want it if it's not. And they're like, no, free. And then they keep talking to you. And then they're like, donation. And I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
I'm like, take it off. And then they're like, no, donation. And then all of a sudden there was a bunch of dudes around me, like, harassing me about it. And I'm like, take it off. And then they harassed for probably 2 to 3 minutes before they finally backed off. And
did you pay them money?
No. They pulled the
thread. But
were
you scared for a little while?
Well, it became like, oh, this is social and fun. I feel very scared. Like, because they 3 dudes came up behind me, big guys. And then it took other people from my group, like, slowing down and coming back because I had got kind of pulled back into it. It was intimidating.
That is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure once in Seattle, I paid $20 to park to somebody that did not work at the parking lot. It was the same sort of thing, though. You feel intimidated.
Well, and, you know, like, once, you know, shame on me. Twice,
how many
it.
Times did it happen?
Well, so there was a second time that it happened that he had me really convinced that he was serious about it being just because we're friends and buds. And I was wrong. And he put it on me again. And he wouldn't let go. And I just had my wrist, like, pulled behind me. Like,
Macy,
walking. He had my arm.
Don't let men tie you up.
And I was like, it happened again. And I had to have people come and like defend me to get them to leave me alone. And then finally pulled it off of me. And I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again. Third time happened. And this was, these are all in different cities in Europe that I'm getting bamboozled for the same thing.
Don't get fucking bamboozled.
The third time I was bamboozled was by a small child that was giving me, like, at nighttime, was going up and down the street and was giving...
You got bamboozled by a small child?
She gave me a little rose, and she's like, you're such a pretty girl, and gave it to me. And I was like, oh, they're so nice, little girl. Thank you. And then, I don't... Thanks. And then, not more than 30 minutes later, I'm walking down the street. So the little girl goes away, right? And now her, like, disgruntled-looking aunt, perhaps, or just owner?
Pimp?
I don't know. Pimp works. Comes out of the shadows, starts walking behind me. You gotta pay for that. You gotta pay for that. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Those are words pimps say.
Yes, that's true. And I took it, and I dropped on the ground, and then she just flipped. You're damaging my product, and just freaking
Again,
out on me.
Like, those are words pimps say.
It's true as well. So anyways, like, it can happen to anybody. Happened to me three times,
but not three times usually.
I didn't pay the money, but like I fell for it every time.
So the takeaway is, don't take shit in
don't
Europe.
Let somebody tie something to you.
Don't let people tie you up.
God, the second time I knew too. I was like,
damn it, why am I tied to this man again? How do I not learn?
It's like the same man but a different one. Another thing to be aware of is not to be too cautious, because if you're checking your pockets frequently, then again, they know where your valuables are.
That's good. That's that tell.
Yes. So I went to Chico, California, and had to pay off my car while I was in Chico. So I was walking around with $7,500 in my wallet, which made me super nervous. And I actually tried really hard. I was like, don't just act like you're just walking to Starbucks. No big deal.
Should have kept it in your bra.
I paid off my
car. I'm telling you, that's where I keep things. Import.
They also watch your wallet. So trying to camouflage your wealth is really important. That's
assuming I have wealth.
Ashley Hampton, a PhD who works specifically in the federal prison system, says that when you're paying for something, don't pull out a wad of cash. Oh, like, yeah. So it's really a good idea to keep like your big bills separate in a separate part of your wallet.
I know this from yard sailing.
Excuse me?
Yard sailing. Like, if you're planning on bargaining, you just take, you know, say...
You know what, Glenn? You would take her sweaty boob monies.
Hey, sweaty boob money is still money. And it has that nice, like, boob curvature to it when you take it out.
Curves, really?
A little curve.
That's a minute
A small angle. Curve.
Like a little crease?
A little perhaps. Slight angle, yeah.
A little slight angle.
But if you go to a yard sale and you want a bargain, you only take $20 out of your car. You leave the rest in the car. So you pull it out like you only have $20, because they're not going to let you like talk them down if they see you have $40. If you want to offer 20, you bring 20.
I'm like, but gosh, how am I affecting their self-esteem right now? They look really...
Yard sale time is serious. Emotionally invested. You have to set the emotions to the side. In a yard sale.
I can do that in so many areas of my life, but things like that.
And you have to maybe even walk away. Sometimes that's what it takes.
So in like digital era, like being able to steal like the card swipe. I don't know if you've seen like the blockers, like wallets can have blockers to keep your cards from getting scanned now.
Oh, interesting.
Like, that's a thing. Apparently that's a thing.
They can scan it through your wallet.
Yeah.
Get your card numbers.
Uh-huh.
How does that work?
I don't know
what's
how
the
it
science?
Works. Why don't you look it up and you get back to me? So that was like the what they recommend people to be aware of. So now then I dived into this website is titled Learning How to Pickpocket.
Thank you. Right? Pickpocketing 101.
Thanks. Here we
Teach
go.
Teach me.
Wee. So techniques. There's several different techniques. So the first technique is called the gun and or weapon, which Ooh. Is using intimidation, physical and or having a weapon to make somebody give something to you. which is very dangerous.
I think that's last resort, because that makes your crime more like punishable.
Yeah, and like
even if it's a fake weapon, like you're in a different realm. And what of if they category. What if
they have a gun too, or a weapon, yeah. or they're like, "Ooh, I'm gonna like defend myself."
So, you don't bring a fake gun to a gun show.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, you know, there's that is something that is done. It's done less frequently though, because it is more dangerous. To everyone involved. And then there's the distractor. So this technique is most associated, is the one that people tend to associate with the crime. So this is where you're distracted and they pull something out of your pocket, that sort of thing. So then
that's the classic.
The classic. So often these people are like a group of good Samaritans all working for the same pickpocket team that come to help the person clean up, wiping them off, whatever it is. Whatever the problem.
After they were shit on.
Sometimes it'll be like a beautiful girl approaching a male tourist. Oh, are you American? I love American accents. While she reaches toward his belt buckle. And then he starts thinking about his night getting a lot better. And then another pickpocketer steals his wallet.
Why am I picturing her like one of those beer girls?
Wait, a what?
You know, the beer girls with like the little jumper and like the two stains.
Well, I said Amsterdam, not that's different than a German girl.
A girl coming up with two things of weed, would that be more accurate for Amsterdam?
Maybe. yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that it can be done.
Oof-da.
There's also the crowd technique, which is really the most risk for the pickpocketer, but it also takes the most skill. So this is like in a crowd taking something in a high dense tourist population, where people, this is the museum example, there people are distracted. It's high risk because you may be stuck in that crowd in a location that can be shut down. So like you may not be able to get out if they figure out that you stole something from somebody. So it's high risk.
I'm a fan of a good heist. I am, like Ocean's 11 and all that shit. Like mm-hmm. a well thought out, super intricate heist. I love that.
Is 11 the most recent one? Like the really bad one that was done with all females?
No, that was Ocean's 8.
Oh.
With Sandra Bullock. And
that was so bad.
Cate Blanchett, I think, was in it. They were my two favorites. Awkwafina was in it as well, and Rihanna.
We're women and we steal things too. Wee. It just like
it wasn't as good. I watched it anyway.
Yeah. It was a big like sellout. Like I was surprised how many people were going to see Ocean's 8.
It didn't get that great of reviews. I watched it at home. I wouldn't have gone to the theater. I don't take chances on a high-priced theater ticket. Let me just tell you that.
I bet you don't. So other times, so being able to do this in like a crowded place tends to, like in that museum scenario, tends to be a little risky, but it takes a lot of skill. So the person who tried it and then gave it back just to learn how to do it, he ended up, the way that he did it was he went to a costume party. So everybody's dressed up and he was like, it was like perfect. Somebody actually dressed up as an American tourist had like a fanny pack in the front and he's like, perfect. I bet you they're holding their stuff in the fanny pack because they had nothing else. It was just that.
That's where you hold your stuff.
That's where you hold the stuff. And so he came up and like, he's like, I started by just like dancing around them till the group got comfortable with like, oh, I'm just in that vicinity. And then at one point, like he slipped on something and he unzipped and grabbed and he did it very quickly. And he ended up grabbing the guy's wallet.
He did an unzip and grab?
Unzip and
during
grab.
During a fall? Wow. Mass props.
Yeah. And he was very proud of himself, walked away, and then ended up going back and handing back the wallet because this was just his kind of experiment. But this took like months of him. He actually like went to Europe and had somebody.
Do you have footage?
Of that moment? No.
Oh, I see you doing things over there on your computer. We have a lot of computers on the table right now tonight. You have two.
I do. Is that what you're commenting on?
No, it looks like you're doing things like you're a DJ. It's not important. I don't know what you're doing.
Don't worry about it. So part of it is like they look for the right victim, which is really important. So they're trying to find that person that looks distracted, who has their stuff easily accessible. Hmm. So making sure you're not the right victim can be really helpful.
So if you're wearing a fanny pack, not on your fanny, is it still called a fanny pack?
I have one that I use for roller derby. Remember that one?
But do you call it a fanny pack?
No, I wear it on the side.
So that'd be what? A hip pack?
Yeah, because I'm hip.
But what if you wear it in the front? What do you call it?
Wrong.
Penis pack? I don't know. I'm just brainstorming.
I don't like that.
Pelvic pack?
Very sexually aggressive.
Well, yeah, if you're thrusting it.
Or if there's a penis in it, really.
Oh, ew.
That's what you said.
Well, I didn't mean it was in it. I meant it was on it. But I can see how I can see how you'd misunderstand.
Like under it.
Yeah, like a layering situation.
Are you like, okay.
But we don't need to bring penises into our packs.
I don't think so. No. Unless you want to. Whatever. So,
down with the patriarchy. That's what I've been saying all day at work.
Great.
For no reason. Just saying that.
Just because. So just remember that a lot of times these people are using the power of perception against you. So anytime that you're not on your top game, they're going to be taking advantage of that. In the U.S., it's not as big of a deal. Why do you – I'm just honest question.
Where at?
Why is it less of a big deal in the U.S.? I'm not saying everywhere.
Pickpocketing?
Yeah. Like Europe is huge.
Do they do it as much here?
I mean, it happens for sure.
But like, is it happening more there?
Oh, by a lot.
Like, why is that?
Yeah.
Because I think who are the victims? Is it U.S. tourists over there?
It's a lot of tourists.
But yeah. Like U.S. tourists or like all over?
I don't know. Everything kept highlighting like, don't flaunt yourself as an American tourist. So I'm wondering if that's a problem.
Yeah, to that classic like stupid American tourists thing, and you know, like once we leave our country, our IQ drops like 40 points.
Well, because we go into like, I'm gonna take photos, and I think that's where technology plays a huge role now, is like we're so enmeshed in like, I'm not gonna experience what I'm doing right now, I'm gonna take a photo of it,
and we're just clueless, and we're not immersing ourselves in our culture. We're just being super egotistical and stupid.
But I mean, there's tons of stories.
Sorry, world.
In the U.S. too, a lot of them have to do with public transportation for sure. One said a friend of mine was riding the subway when a stranger struck up a conversation, which seemed nice enough, was sitting opposite, wasn't intruding personal space. So nobody really thought anything of it. But then once the tunnel got dark, so they went through a dark patch, he got off at the next stop. So then that's when she realized her ears were sore.
What?
And she looked and he had taken her earrings.
How do you not fucking notice that?
Right? But it's because it's so, everything seems so, you're on guard at first. And then once you decide, okay, this person's not so bad, all of a sudden your guard goes down. It's all that amygdala in your brain, that fight, flight, or freeze response. So once you associate, I'm safe, then your guards go down.
I would have to experience that for myself.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would get so stolen from.
I could see me getting tricked by like some super hot person, just like suddenly in the train.
Sorry, Paul.
I mean, being in Europe with Paul and suddenly the lights in the train go out, you know, and he's distracting me, kissing me, then I would get.
Distracting you and kissing
my earring stolen.
You know, I haven't read one where they actually have to get to the kissing point.
Well, I'm just thinking of those fantasies, you know, the stranger on the train fantasies. Mm-hmm. Except it wouldn't be a stranger because I would know Paul.
There's another one that talks about.
Thanks
like,
for keeping me on track, Macy.
There's a Trans-Siberian train
keeping me honest
in Moscow that this person was riding, and he was on it with his wife, and he said it kind of got rushed by a gang. Pushed inward, so all of a sudden they were just kind of trapped between these people, and like, what are you gonna do? You're on a train, there's nobody in that area to help you, and they started like getting like bumped up against people, and they started like rushing past, and like, so there all of a sudden was just this ton of movement from these people they didn't know pushing up against them, and they're just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? They're worried about their like selves, not their items.
Right.
And then the the stop comes and then the doors open, the people leave and they're relieved. And then they realize, oh, they took things from us. It wasn't physical.
It's like a flash mob heist.
Yeah. Like they're worried about their physical safety when it's actually their property that was at risk. But that's what they do. They make you worry about other higher order things. It's
such a good distraction.
It is. Yeah. Ah, yeah. So that's my thing today. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do wish I had pickpocketing skills. Not that I would use them necessarily, but what if I needed them like in the apocalypse or something?
This is true. We're adding to our apocalypse skills.
I think any survival skill is important. Stealing is a survival skill.
It is. Does anybody in the room have any good updates? Like as far as what your post-apocalypse skill would be? Is it apocalypse or post? Okay. Like, so one of
The apocalypse, like, what is your skill that would help you to survive?
So I can things like jams.
I have nothing. I'm working on it.
Are you?
Yeah. I want to learn mechanicking skills or maybe electrical skills. I'm not sure.
But you don't have any of those.
No, I want, that's my goal.
We're currently hiring for an electrician and a mechanic.
I thought about signing up for the mechanicking class at the community college, but it would be like me and like a bunch of 18-year-old boys.
Bearing dogs. That's actually like during winter, good skill. That's hard to do.
What?
Bearing dogs.
Bearing dogs?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that means. It's
my dad saying that because Sam.
Bearing?
Burying.
Oh, burying. I'm like, what are we, giving birth to animals? I don't understand what was
happening. That's true. There's no electricity, so there's no electrician needed. You know what? I like your common sense. You can come in.
No, but I could like make electricity.
We don't need you anymore.
Okay, basic mechanical skills, though. Just
you haven't even been able to give me my comfort pants.
No, but I got a refund. So that was something.
Good for you.
I have good internet sleuthing. I have fair internet sleuthing skills. Fair.
Fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I need my apocalypse skill. I can't. I don't have like weapons skills. I can't. Like,
I'm sorry. There's only like trained jujitsu. So.
Oh, fighting skills is definitely in. You're in with fighting skills.
I see different, like the valley, like coming at the downtown people with some jiu-jitsu skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, downtown would fucking kill the valley. Sorry.
I know. That's true.
Macy lives in the valley. I live downtown. I'll just glom on somebody else. Is that supposed
to give you some props?
You know what my skills have always been since I was little is not necessarily being like the badass, but being the mastermind behind the badass. That's always been me. Like I was like the right hand woman to the classroom bully. Like that was me.
So you're the manipulative one.
I'm the one that comes up with the ideas and they enact them.
Well, that's nice of you.
So I know if I went to prison ever, like I would just fall right into that same role.
You've really thought this through.
I have.
And you're absolutely right, Dr. K. All these people with all these skills probably would not be in our groups.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe my canning skills aren't that great. I can make a mean pickle. That's all.
Well, you can be part. Like, if we got in with a big group, you could be part of the canning crew. Like, you don't necessarily have to be the canning expert. We just need that thing that when there's already an enclosure, an encampment, and we're coming up and like, let us in. They're like, what the fuck do you have to offer?
Did this tie with the cult that we were going to make a while ago?
No, that was where we're in the encampment.
The dentist judging. Cult. Because they make a lot of money and they're also depressed.
This is the situation where we're outside the fence trying to barter our way in with our apocalypse skill.
And this is back to you being in the fence. And I'll dig you out. I will.
No, I'm outside the fence trying to say.
Until next time, I will dig you out.
Why are you cutting me off? Until next time, create your own label.